Blog Talk Radio. But if not, there was a day when many of the Israelites found themselves in bondage in Babylon. And there was a king of Babylon by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. You read about him a good deal in the book of Daniel, and it stands as an epic that will remain stenciled on the mental sheets of unfolding generations. Nebuchadnezzar was a mighty king. And when he ruled, he ruled. And when he issued an order, he meant business. And Nebuchadnezzar issued an order. He made a golden image, and his order was that everybody under the reign of his kingship had to bow before that golden image and worship it. Now, those of you who read the Bible remember that story. One day Nebuchadnezzar called in the judges and the governors and the sheriffs, and they had a dedicatory service for this golden image. And then he said to them, I'm instructing you to see that everybody bows before this golden image. But there were three young men around there. One's name was Shadrach. The other one's name was Meshach. And the other name was Abednego. And they answered, and I read it from the scripture, and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now I want you to notice first here that these young men practiced civil disobedience. Civil disobedience is the refusal to abide by an order of the government or of the state or even of the court that your conscience tells you is unjust. Civil disobedience is based on a commitment to conscience. In other words, one who practices civil disobedience is obedient to what he considers a higher law. And then there comes a time when a moral man can obey a law which his conscience tells him is unjust. And I tell you this morning, my friends, history has moved on. Great moments have often come forth because there were those individuals in every age and every generation who were willing to say, I will be obedient to a higher law. These men were saying, I must be disobedient to a king in order to be obedient to the king. And those people who so often criticize those of us who come to those moments when we must practice civil disobedience never remember that even right here in America, in order to get free from the oppression and the colonialism of the British Empire, our nation practiced civil disobedience. For what represented civil disobedience more than the Boston Tea Party? Never forget that everything that Hitler did in Germany was legal. It was legal. What I'm saying to you this morning, my friend, even if it falls your lot to be a street sweeper, going out in sweet streets like Michelangelo painted pictures, sweet streets like Handel and Beethoven composed music, sweet streets like Shakespeare wrote poetry, sweet streets so well that all the hosts of heaven and earth will have to pause and say, here lived a great street sweeper who swept his job well. If you can't be a pine on the top of a hill, be a scrub in the valley, but be the best little scrub on the side of the rill. Be a bush if you can't be a tree. If you can't be a highway, just be a trail. If you can't be the sun, be a star. It isn't by size that you win or you fail. Be the best of whatever you are. And when you do this, you've mastered the length of life. This onward push to the end of self-fulfillment is the end of a person's life. Now, don't stop here, though. You know, a lot of people get no further in life than the length. They develop their inner powers. They do their jobs well. Do you know they try to live as if nobody else lives in the world but themselves? And they use everybody as mere tools to get to where they're going. They don't love anybody but themselves. And the only kind of love that they really have for other people is utilitarian love. You know, they just love people that they can use. A lot of people never get beyond the first dimension of life.
They use other people as mere steps to which or by which they can climb to their goals and their ambitions. These people don't work out well in life. They may go for a while. They may think they're making it all right. But there is a law. They call it the law of gravitation in the physical universe.
Do it for me. Oh, my God, tell me, I shall not walk. It's a very personal thing, isn't it? He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still water. He restoreth my soul. Did you hear what I said? He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
My Lord.
Isn't it so? Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. A very personal thing. I don't think too much of people who have no personal testimony about God and his goodness. Some folks say, well, you know, I'm not very much of a talker. And I can't say anything in church. If God has meant anything in your life, you ought to be willing to say anyway. You ought to be able to say what God means to me. The Lord means anything, let the saints of God say so. Pray with me. If David was author of this passage, then it was born out of some of his experiences. Possibly at the time that he penned this particular passage, this psalm, he was sitting upon an ivory throne. Israel's first citizen. With a scepter of authority in his hand. The courtiers and ambassadors gathered before him. And yet he takes the retrospect back down the vista of the past. And began to think about those things that brought him over. Had it been his skillfulness? Had it been his superior intelligence? Had it been his political maneuvering? Had it been his contacts? Had it been money? Had it been armies? No, sir. It had been the Lord. Thus he says, the Lord has been my shepherd. No wonder the man said, through many dangerous trials and snares, I have already come. It wasn't money, it wasn't military power, it wasn't chicanery, it wasn't political strings being pulled. It was grace that brought me saved thus far. And grace will lead me on. Here's a man who had been brought by God from the obscurity of the dry and barren hills of Judah. To the throne of Israel. Here's a man who come up from the unknown and have faced the fear of giant Goliath. Outside in the town of Shukah at the Valley of Elah. With the soldiers of Israel arrayed on one mountain and the soldiers of the Philistines arrayed on the other. This man who had been decorated by his valor and bravery was walking between the mountains, exclaiming in loud tones of profanity, or exclaiming profanity against the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob. You know how he requested audience with the king, and how he started out with Saul's own helmet on his head. Saul's own sword in his hand. Saul's own shield on his arm. But having no experience and training in this kind of a thing, he took them back and requested only his sling and God. You know the victory that he brought to Israel. And when he went marching back to the capital, the women along the way composed a new song. Since Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000. You know the jealousy that this aroused in Saul.
Yeah.
And now Saul sought to kill him.
Yeah.
And now he had to run and hide.
Yeah. Well,
and one day when there were a company of men coming in from the south.
Yeah.
And another company closing in from the north.
Yeah.
And another one from the east and another one from the west.
Yeah.
And there was no escape for David.
Yeah.
And God whispered to a spider.
Yeah.
And told David to run in a cave.
Yeah.
And told that spider to get busy.
Yeah.
And web up that cave.
Yeah.
And when the soldiers got there,
yeah,
God is my shepherd. And I shall not be left in war.
Yeah.
That's what the man is talking about.
Well, yeah.
I shall not want for companionship, for the Lord is my companion.
Yeah.
I shall not want for guidance, for the Lord is my guide.
Yeah.
I shall not want for protection, for the Lord protects me.
Yeah.
He has it over me. And I rest under the wing of his power.
Yeah.
I don't believe you know what I'm talking about tonight.
Yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Yeah.
And I shall not want.
Yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Yeah.
Listen if you please. Why? He said, yeah, he maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He doesn't lead me to dry and barren hillside. No, sir. As a highland does his feet. No, sir. He takes me often to life green pasture. Why the grass of his grace is prettier. And why I can eat until my soul is satisfied. And when I feasted to my satisfaction, he let me then lay down in a plenty. Green pasture. It's a green pasture. That's why I don't like to hear people talking about I'm a Christian and trying to be all pitiful. No, no, this thing is nothing piteous. I'm a child of the King. And my Father says, the world is mine. And the fullness thereof belongs to me. Gold and silver are mine. And I have 10,000 blessings in my hand. Just for charity. Nothing pitiful. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. Yes, he does.
All right.
And he leads me beside the still water. The still water. They tell me that this part of the verse was inspired by an occurrence that constantly or frequently occurred with respect to shepherds and their sheep in Palestine. It is said that very often when the sheep went down to the Sea of Galilee, the waves were billowing and tossed it. Sheep being of a timid nature, why would leave very often without sufficient drink? Shepherds devised a scheme to dig a trench leading from the main stream. And then let the trench run over, and at the end of the trench, dig a pool and let the water from the main stream run out and run through the trench and into the pool. And the water in the pool was called still water. Though the waves were dashing out there, though the white caps were kissing one another upon the surface of the water, the water in the pool was still and placid. I think that's what God does for us who have faith in him. Sometimes life's billowy sea is too reckless for our timid souls to drink. But God has a way of opening up a private pool,
yes, sir,
and letting our souls drink,
yes,
to the soul's satisfaction.
Yes.
I don't mean I feasted to my satisfaction.
Yes.
He let me then lay down in a plenty.
Yes.
Green pasture. To green pasture. That's why I don't like to hear people talking about I'm a Christian and trying to be all pitiful. No, this thing is nothing piteous.
No.
I'm a child of the King.
Yes. Yes.
And my Father says the world is mine.
Yes.
And the fullness thereof belongs to me.
Yes.
Gold and silver are mine.
Yes.
And I have 10,000 blessings in my hand.
Yes.
Just for charity.
Yes.
Nothing pitiful. He makes me to lie down in green pasture.
Yes.
Yes, he does.
Lord,
and he leads me beside the still water.
Yes.
The still water. Yes. They tell me that this part of the verse was inspired by an occurrence that constantly or frequently occurred with respect to shepherds and their sheep in Palestine. It is said that very often when the sheep went down to the Sea of Galilee, the waves were billowing and tossing. Sheep being of a timid nature, why would leave very often without sufficient drink? Shepherds devised a scheme to dig a trench leading from the main stream. And then let the trench run over, and at the end of the trench, dig a pool and let the water from the main stream run out and run through the trench and into the pool. And the water in the pool was called still water. Though the waves were dashing out there, though the white caps were kissing one another upon the surface of the water, the water in the pool was still and placid. At this same passage, the 23rd Psalm. And when everything was gone, he began reading, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. Yes, he does. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. You know, my brothers and my sisters, don't you know I would lose my way but for the fact that the Lord leads me? But you see, the way of righteousness is a narrow way. The way of truth is a narrow way. The way of love is a narrow way. The way of justice is a narrow way. Certainly the way of righteousness is a narrow way. And I believe that almost any of us would lose our way if it were not for God. But the reason why I do not lose my way always, the Lord lead me. For the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He lead me by the still water. He restores my soul. I don't believe you know what I'm talking about tonight. He lead me in paths of righteousness. Oh Lord, he's holding my hand, otherwise I'd go astray. Oh Lord, I'll take the road to destruction. But the Lord is holding my hand. Oh Lord, I don't know if you know what I'm talking about tonight. But in the highways and byways of life, I like to feel that the Lord is leading me. On the streets of Detroit or wherever I go, I like to feel that he's leading me. Leading me around the bend. Leading me around the pitfall. He's leading me. And I hear David say, not only that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, some people feel that this is when you die. But I'm not only in death's shadows when I die.
Yeah.
Sometime in the midst of life, I'm in the shadow of death.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. And the only reason why that I don't lose heart,
well,
the only reason why I don't give up, my God,
yeah,
his Lord and his Lord,
yeah,
by my side.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord, I don't have to worry,
no,
and I don't have to get in any hurry.
Yeah.
Somebody may say, well, don't you know life's valley is dangerous?
Yeah.
And don't you know it's fraught with death?
Yeah.
And if you've got to go through, you ought to hurry.
Yeah.
And go on through.
Yeah.
I tell those people, no,
yes,
I'm in no hurry.
Yeah.
I can just walk, take my time.
Yeah.
Not even anybody hurry.
Yeah. No, no.
But his rod and his side,
yeah,
by my side.
Yeah.
Every time that I get afraid,
yeah,
I feel him near me.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord. And when enemies have predicted that I'm through,
yeah,
when enemies have said that he's finished,
yeah,
oh Lord,
well,
he doesn't have anything to see me eating,
yeah,
and see bread on the table.
Yeah.
Oh Lord, he put the diet and the menu of love on the table.
Yeah.
He put the menu of peace on the table.
Yeah.
He put on the menu inner contentment,
yes,
and satisfaction,
yes,
and even it all around me.
Yes.
And unless I get a friend,
yes,
he pulls the oil on my head,
yes,
and running the other side. The Lord is,
the Lord is,
the Lord is, the Lord is. He's mine tonight.
Yes.
I don't know if he's yours.
Yes.
I don't know how you feel about it.
Yeah.
And I tell my Lord,
yeah,
the Lord,
yeah,
take me to green pasture.
Yeah.
The Lord,
yeah,
take me to valley green. The Lord,
yeah,
the Lord,
yeah,
take me down,
yeah,
by the still water.
Yeah.
The Lord,
yeah,
yeah, yeah,
the Lord,
yeah,
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 yeah.
Thank you. And I think all of them agree that in the United States, we must solve this problem of racial injustice if we expect to maintain our leadership in the world and if we expect to serve as a moral voice in a world that is two-thirds color.
Inferiority forming every day in their little mental
blasted hopes and shattered dreams. Many people of various backgrounds live in this America. Some are Mexican Americans, some are Puerto Ricans, some are Indians, some happen to be from other groups. Probably the largest group in this other America in proportion to its size in the population is the American Negro. The American Negro finds himself living in a triple ghetto, a ghetto of race, a ghetto of poverty, a ghetto is to deal with this problem, to deal with this problem of the two Americas. We are seeking to make America one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Now let me say that the struggle for civil rights is a struggle for one America. It's much more difficult today than it was 5 or 10 years ago. For about a decade, or maybe 12 years, we struggled all across the South in glorious struggle to get rid of legal, overt segregation and all of the humiliation that surrounded that system of segregation. In a sense, this was a struggle for decency. We could not go to a lunch counter in so many instances and get a hamburger or a cup of coffee. We could not make use of public accommodation. Public transportation was segregated. And often we had to sit in the back, and within transportation within cities, we often had to stand over empty seats because sections were reserved for whites only. We did not have the